Well, it's good to be back. Actually, Cancun sounds really good, though, doesn't it? It'd be kind of fun. But at least it's 50 degrees warmer than when I was here last time. Yeah, the last Sunday I was here was minus 19. And yeah, it was 33 or something today. So, man, we're in a heat wave. Well, due to technical difficulties in the media team, you guys don't just have my scriptures this morning, you actually have my whole notes. So please don't spend the morning reading them. Use them when you go home to kind of study. And it's only slightly embarrassing. I emailed them my notes as soon as I had it kind of finalized. But it was before I proofread them. Because I didn't proofread them actually till yesterday. So you have the unproofread versions. So if you find typos, yes, there are many, many typos in there. That was my rough draft that they got. So be at peace. Okay, we're doing a series. When we kind of heard that we were coming up for a period, God really put on my heart very strongly to do a series for all the Sundays we're here. And that series is to really look at peace and what it means to live in peace, to be in peace. What does biblical peace actually look like? And so last time we looked at the God of peace. We looked at all the scriptures where the God of peace is mentioned, and there are a bunch. And then the second Sunday we looked at the gospel of peace, how the gospel itself is a gospel of peace. So if you weren't here on those first two, go back and listen to those just to get a foundation for it. This morning we want to do the kingdom of peace and look, what does it mean to be under the rule of his peace? What does that look like? Experientially, real place in our life, what does that look like? And then next Sunday we're going to talk about the fruit of the peace. One of the fruits of the Spirit is peace. And so we will look at how the Holy Spirit works in us to build that character trait of Jesus into our lives. So let's dive into this. So remember from last time, biblical peace is the presence of something, not the absence of something.
Yeah.
If you don't get anything else out of this entire series, biblical peace is the presence of something, not the absence of something. In all the dictionary definitions that you'll read of peace in English, they all talk about the absence of conflict or the absence of this or the absence of that or what isn't there. They all speak of what isn't, but biblical peace is not what isn't, it's what is. It's actually the presence of the King of Peace. It's the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's the presence of his kingdom. It's the presence of his rule. So this morning we want to look specifically at the kingdom of peace. The kingdom is the realm of God's rule, and the peace is the evidence of his presence. So when we're looking at the kingdom of peace, we're looking at the whole realm of God's rule. Where does God on the earth, where does his rule function? How does that function? We're going to look a little bit at that this morning. And then the peace component of that is that the presence of Jesus should always produce peace. Now, not peace in terms of no conflict, but peace in you in the middle of conflict. Because that's the key. Heaven's peace lets us live at peace in the most difficult circumstances we'll ever live in. The most difficult challenges you face, you can be 100% at peace in the midst of that challenge. But we have to understand biblical peace before that begins to make sense to us. So we'll start in Isaiah. Isaiah prophesied that there would be no increase to his government and peace. There would be no end to the increase of when God's rule comes, it will be an ever-increasing presence of peace, a rule of peace. Now, remember, Isaiah is one of the first prophets. He was a prophet in the southern kingdom, which was the smaller half of Israel. He came into kind of prominence right at the end of Uzziah's life. Uzziah was one of the very few fairly good kings of Judah. And Isaiah then prophesies through that period, through Assyria's attack on the northern kingdom, and there's tremendous amount of conflict going on in Israel when Isaiah's prophesying. But he brings in this truth looking forward that we're in the midst of conflict, but there is a king coming, and when that king comes, he's going to bring peace. So he's looking forward to the reign of Christ. He's looking forward to the presence of the kingdom and saying there's going to be no end to the increase of his kingdom and peace. How awesome is it that we have a God that declares that into us? We have a God that speaks into our current political climate or our current whatever is going on around us, and he speaks that increase of his government and peace. The context of the Old Testament is that the Old Testament, if you read the Old and New Testament, you find a lot of things in the Old Testament that don't seem like the God of the New Testament. And it's not that a different God. It's not that there's a conflict. The Old Testament is all about the effect of sin. This is what sin produces. If there's sin, it defiles everything around it. If you're a leper and you touch a leper, you get unclean because the uncleanness in him gets on you. The whole of the Old Testament is the consequence of sin, the consequence of failure, the consequence of what's going on. And so, you know, we see violence, we see, you know, stone a son that's rebellious, we see, you know, kill a tribe that won't serve God. There are lots of things in the Old Testament that seem inconsistent with who we know God to be, but God is holy and he's just, and sin has to be dealt with somehow. So the whole of the Old, as we look at it, is the defiling power of sin and how it contaminates. And then we have blood sacrifice in the Old, but it was always temporary. There was always a temporary payment, a one-year payment for sin or whatever. It was always, it was holding off, but it was looking forward to who Jesus was. And when Jesus came, something shifted, something changed, something profoundly changed, because there was a new covenant that wasn't based on the power of sin. It was based on the power of the perfect sacrifice. It was based on the power of his blood to actually transform things. And so we come into the new, and we read in Colossians 1, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross, through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. So in Christ, suddenly this conflict is resolved. Now, it doesn't mean that sin doesn't have consequences. In the new covenant, sin has the same consequences that it had in the old. Sin hasn't changed. Sin is still destructive. Sin is still disruptive. Sin will still destroy your life. Sin will still mess you up. It's not that in the new, sin became less powerful, but we have an agent, the blood of Jesus, which is more powerful than any sin that we could have walked in or been in or involved in. And his blood has the power to reverse that. In the context of Colossians, and when you go home, read through that chapter, it's just a phenomenal chapter. The chapter starts out with Jesus having been active in creation, and that his activity in the very forming of things, but then it comes into Jesus being Lord of both the visible and invisible realm. So there's nothing he's not Lord of. There's nothing that isn't under Christ. Now, sin still has its behavior, but he is Lord of all. That's who he is. And he's Lord in the visible realm and the invisible realm. So his kingdom is increasing, but it's broader than the things we see with our eyes. There's stuff going on that we don't grasp and we don't understand because we don't see well into that other invisible realm. But it's an incredible life of Jesus. And then just before we get to this Colossians verse, it makes this incredible statement that in Christ, when we come to Jesus, we are transferred out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light. There's actually a transfer that takes place where I'm no longer under the law of sin and death. I've been transferred into the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God, it's the Lord of peace. It's Jesus, whose name is peace. I've been brought into a king whose name is peace. And so when I'm transferred into the kingdom of God, one of the marks of that kingdom is peace. It's out from under the reign of sin, and it's in under the reign of King Jesus. So what does it look like to be under the reign of King Jesus? So for so many of us, when we accepted Christ, and I'm told by my parents that I accepted Christ when I was 3 years old. I don't actually have a conscious memory of it. I know my entire life I was raised on the mission field, so I don't know a time that I didn't know Jesus. I'd have no conscious memory of anything other than that. But my knowledge of him growing up was salvation for eternity. It wasn't living under his rule. And I remember when I was 18 years old, I encountered God for the first time as a call in my life. And suddenly I'm being asked to not just live good until I die and go to heaven. I'm being asked to give my life to him. That was before I was baptized in the Spirit, before I knew the Holy Spirit. I was sitting on a side of a mountain. I'd helped my dad do a water project in a place in Kenya. And we were at the end of the day, it was evening, sunset, and we're absolutely exhausted. I'm sitting on a hill and I saw this bird. It's big, big, like a hawk. It was caught on the updraft coming up the hill, and this hawk just came up, and it's sitting probably 5 or 6 feet away from my head. And I'm just watching the structure of this hawk. I'm watching it in the breeze. I'm watching it catch breeze I was almost unaware with. It's just floating right there. And I remember saying, God, your creation is amazing. And the next words out of my mouth were, what am I created for? And in that moment, God took me into a place of complete surrender to him, where my entire life is surrendered to his lordship. Now, I didn't understand the Holy Spirit in those days, but I understood lordship. And I understood that when I submitted my life to him, that was it. I belonged to him. And I don't know how I knew that, but I did. But that's when we realized that his kingdom in this realm is a rule. And the mark of that, one of the main marks of that rule, is peace. So are you at peace? I've discovered in my life that any time I'm out of peace, I'm out from under his rule. Anytime there's not peace, I've either gotten my self-will involved, or I've been stupid, or I'm letting attitudes be in me that shouldn't be there, and I've actually stepped away from his lordship, and now I no longer have peace. And if we're going to live fully in his kingdom, we've got to be a people that live in peace and let his peace rule in every aspect and every part of our lives. How much place does peace have in you? I think as a church, we very often have taught a freedom from sin more than access to peace. And I would suggest that as a body of Christ, if we teach access to peace, we won't have to worry quite so much about the presence of sin. Because when you begin to experience his peace, and that peace is so deep and foundational in you, it changes the way you think and behave and act. You just don't want to sin anymore. Just saying. Yeah, good. It is good news. That is good news. So then in Matthew 12, we have this incredible statement. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, Jesus speaking, if I by the Spirit of God, some translations say finger of God, if I by the Spirit of God cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has arrived among you. There's a foundational shift between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light, between the old covenant and the new covenant. In the old covenant, if you touched a leper, leprosy got you. If you got around an angry person and that angry, you started getting angry because you were around an angry person. The old covenant was all about the power of sin to affect a person. The kingdom is exactly the opposite. The kingdom is Jesus touches a leper and the kingdom in him heals the leprosy because the kingdom is more powerful than the sin that has that person bound. So a woman with the issue of blood can touch the hem of Jesus' garment and he's not made unclean, she's made clean. Because something in him, the kingdom in him, the life of God, the power of God in him, that is the kingdom of peace at work in the way that it's supposed to work. The kingdom in you should be transforming the circumstances around you because the God in you is more powerful than the sin in our nation. The God in you is more powerful than the issues we have in our culture. So Jesus comes and he said, the mark of the kingdom, the way you'll know the kingdom is when I cast out demons. That's a visible representation of the kingdom. So when you pray for the sick, when you heal the sick, when you speak a life of God, when you give a prophetic word, every time the Holy Spirit moves through you, the kingdom of God increases in the earth. See, we're waiting for God to kind of breathe a revival that doesn't have anything to do with us. Now, I've been in a room. A few years ago, we had a Saturday night service. Incredible worship. During worship, right at the end of worship, the whole sanctuary started filling up with smoke. And were you there? It was there at that one. And we're looking around thinking, did somebody put a smoke machine in? Because that's what it looked like. But the more this place filled, it was this incredible presence of God. And there are people coming to the altar repenting. There are people getting healed. There are people, it was holy chaos for hours. It was unbelievable. There's one of our elders had a son that was going through real challenge, and he was actually in bed asleep 3 or 4 miles away from our building. And the same presence that fell in our building fell in his bedroom. He got up and got dressed and came down to see what was happening because the presence of God was so powerful. I love those. I love those times. I love what that does. But that's not what we're looking for. It's what we experience when we're pursuing him. It's what we experience when we allow the Holy Spirit to move through us. And the primary expansion of the kingdom is when you and I release what God has put in us to other people. Every time you speak of Jesus to somebody, the kingdom of God is increasing in Huron and in Marshall. See, the kingdom is a higher law than sin. How many of you know what gravity is? The older we get, the more we experience gravity. There are things sagging on me that didn't used to sag. The gravity is kind of taking over. But there's another law. And that bird floating beside my head was operating through the law of aerodynamics, not the law of gravity. It's not that he was defying gravity, but there was a law he operated by that superseded. The way his wings were shaped changed the way pressure flowed, and so there's a lift on his wings because God created him, that bird, to be able to defy gravity and operate in aerodynamics. It's a different law. It doesn't void. If he folded his wings up, he'd drop like a walk because gravity would take over. When you stop operating the law of the kingdom, another law takes over. And we're back fighting things we didn't used to fight because we're operating out of the wrong law, wrapping out of the wrong mindset, the wrong understanding. Do you remember that? If you remember that instruction of God to David, David really wanted to build the temple. I mean, he really, 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 really wanted to build the temple. David was the only time, well, David and Solomon were the only times where the whole of Israel was actually together. It was after David and Solomon that it went back to division again of a northern, southern kingdom. But David asked God if he could build the temple, and God said no. He said, you're a man of war, and you can't build the temple. Why? Because peace is such a mark of God's presence that even somebody operating in full obedience like David did for the majority of his life isn't allowed to build this dwelling place for God. He said, no, your son, Solomon, is going to be a king of peace, and he can build the temple. How important is peace to God? Now just read scripture. David was a man after God's own heart. Solomon kind of messed up. I don't think that's fair. But it's not up to me. There's a lot of things we look at that we're walking through that we don't understand why we're experiencing that or why we're dealing with that. There's a kingdom, and his kingdom is manifest in peace. Now let's jump over a little bit more in the New Testament. Acts chapter 9. Somebody read Acts already this morning. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace, being built up and going on in the fear of the Lord. They continued to increase. Okay, now I ask you a question. You've read through the book of Acts. Was the climate this church was in conducive to peace? There's Roman occupation. There's agnostic cultures. There's demonic cultures. There's religious legalism. They are constantly battling just to stay afloat. So the church throughout all Judea and Samaria enjoyed peace. Hang on, Luke, you must have messed up here. Because they weren't enjoying peace, there was constant conflict. I mean, religious legalism was constantly trying to pull down Gentile believers and bring Judaism back in. There's a tremendous move against the Gentile church. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace being built. Peace is not external, it's internal. The peace they're enjoying is not that everything's going well externally. It's they're living with such a well of peace internally that everything they're doing is marked by peace. They're not marked by the conflict swirling around them. And so when we get to Scripture and Scripture's being written, what's written? They enjoyed peace. In some of the most conflicted moments in all of church history, they're enjoying peace. Why? Because that internal life of God, that awareness of the King of Peace being in control, their awareness of the kingdom of God, their awareness of this kingdom of peace that they have been adopted into was so real that the kingdom they lived in was more real than the kingdoms around them. The kingdom of God was more real than the kingdom of darkness. We are so affected by the kingdom of darkness. I mean, it's getting crazy. I know some might think we're sticking our head in the sand, but I think Sally and I are now going on 3.5-4 years without watching the news at all. Because I was being affected by the kingdom of darkness. Now, it's not head in the sand. I check the headlines occasionally just to find if I'm missing something in the world. And I do find occasionally I'm missing huge events. I don't care. Doesn't matter to me. I want to live in the kingdom of God with my mind so focused on what God's doing that I really, really am unaffected by what the enemy's doing. Now, yes, we bump up against it all the time. We bump up against those things. We have to deal with them. That's part of life. We deal with deliverance all the time. Sally and I did deliverance on the car on the way down here. We had a glorious deliverance in the car. We were had a lady on speakerphone in the car, and we just walked her through some incredible. I'll deal with the kingdom of darkness any day of the week. But I live in the kingdom of light, in the kingdom of peace. Because I'm ruled by peace, I'm not ruled by the conflict. How many of you have felt ruled by conflict? Would you just stand up real quick if you felt that, honestly felt that? If you're near these that are standing, would you just reach out and lay hands on them right now? Just reach over and lay your hand on them. Let's just stand together. Father, Father, we just stand for the kingdom of peace. Father, we no longer want to be manipulated by what the enemy's doing. Holy Spirit, come. Father, give us a vision of your kingdom of peace so we can live in that place of peace, minister from that place of peace, operate in that place of peace. And we declare that in Jesus' name. Amen. When we're ruled by peace, it changes the way we see the world around us. I don't want to give the enemy any voice in what we do. I don't want him setting my agenda. I don't want our time taken up with things that he's sowing or things that he's doing. I want to be so surrendered to the King of Peace that that's who governs my life. When I get a call from some of our spiritual sons and daughters, and very frequently some of those calls are, we're in the middle of all this and that. And one of the first questions I usually ask is, are you letting the enemy set your agenda? Are you letting what the enemy's doing set what you then have to do? Because the moment I do that, I get out of peace. Because I'm then fighting battles that I'm not supposed to be fighting. Let's just talk about the church and the kingdom briefly. The church and the kingdom are not the same thing. The kingdom of God is everywhere that God works. And God is at work much broader than the church. Winter was talking about, you know, the interventions that we're seeing in the Muslim world right now. Extraordinary. Just we get constant feedback for what God is doing in the nations of the earth. He's at work. God's at work in people that we wouldn't think he's using. I've watched God use politicians to stop directions when those people weren't godly. But just something rose up and they stopped it. I've watched political leaders be turned by the kingdom of God at work. Our son's been able to speak into a major leader in Africa who there's nothing godly in most of what he's done in his time in power. But the word God gave my son to take to him was, he handed him a pen and he said, with this pen you're going to write justice over the nation. He's an ungodly man that God is beginning to use. That's the kingdom. The kingdom is much broader than the church. The church is the community of the kingdom. You are the people in whom the life of the kingdom needs to be lived out. We're the people of God. And so we live with an awareness of the kingdom. We're in the kingdom, but we're the community of the kingdom. We're the people that carry the life of the kingdom. But we understand that the kingdom is bigger than we are. I always struggle when church names get Kingdom Church as their title. I think we miss something because we're getting too small. We're getting too limited. The kingdom is so much bigger. It's God's influence in the earth, and he's at work in the earth in incredible ways. When Jesus chose a word for the church, he picked this word, ekklesia, which was, it was a Greek word, but it was actually, yeah, it was Greek. It was the gathering of citizens to determine the direction of society. It was kind of like a council sort of thing. And he picked that word and called the church that word, ecclesia. It was kind of a governing body of a community. That's what we are in the kingdom. He wants us to be the ones that carry and extend the kingdom. It's through us that God wants the kingdom to really invade here on South Dakota. He wants to change this place by his presence, by the King's presence here. And he wants to do it through us. Romans 14. This one you know really well. Somebody mentioned this one today too. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So at least a third of kingdom function is peace. The kingdom of God is righteousness. We've been given. Romans tells us that the righteousness of Christ has been given to us as a gift. And as a gift, we receive and walk in Christ's righteousness. So it's not my righteousness that gives me access to God. It's Christ's righteousness given to me as a gift. That's the essence. That's the foundation of your identity as a citizen in the kingdom, is that you're in the kingdom not because you are righteous, but because Jesus was righteous. Amen. And we have received his righteousness. We accepted his gift. And in that gift, he declared us righteous so that we could stand before the Father and have access to the Father. That's the righteousness part of the kingdom. The second part of the kingdom is joy, that we live in this amazing joy that's foundationed in the fact that we live for eternity, not for the present. Jesus said, for the joy set before him, he endures the cross. He goes through all this stuff because there's this magnificent joy he's moving forward. The body of Christ should be the most joyful people on earth. We should be. It should be our nature. It should be our character. And then peace. The kingdom of peace is the King living in you, releasing his peace through you. How much influence does the kingdom of peace have in your life? How much does it affect the way you think, the way you behave, the way you act? How much are you marked by it? Are you marked by what he's doing? Colossians 3. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. So the word rule here in that verse basically means to umpire, to decide, to determine, to direct, or to control. The word rule is a word taken from sports. That's where it comes from. That's the use of that word. And it was basically the umpire of the entire game, the one that controls the whole game, the one that rules how this game goes is the umpire. And Paul tells the Colossians that your umpire, the ruler, the one who controls the game, is peace. I don't know if anybody works in surveying, but if you're a surveyor at all, there's always a control point. When they come in to survey a place, to supply a piece of land, they have to find a control point. It's a point that's marked in the ground that everything else measures off that control point. If you don't find a control point, you're not going to get an accurate survey of the land that we're dealing with. So they always find a control point. The control point in your life is peace. If you're not at peace, go back to the control point. If you're not experiencing his peace in your Christian walk, go back to the control point, because the control point is peace, and we let his peace rule in everything we do. So if you're in the middle of conflict, don't try to resolve the conflict. Look for the control point. Go back to peace, and then from that control point, try to resolve the issues that you're facing in this moment. But the control point is peace. As believers, that should be our default position. The kingdom of peace is your life being ruled by peace, because you've been transferred out of one kingdom and you brought into another kingdom, and the kingdom you're in is governed and ruled by peace. I don't think we've been very good at this as a church. So if we're not at peace, something has to change. Paul said this, the mindset on flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. The word set here is we would probably use in English, the word inclination would be more like what that. It's where does your mind go when you think? And he said, if your mindset is peace, the control point, then your life is going to be governed by that control point that you're set on. But if it's not, then we got to change our mindset. We got to change the way we think. We got to change the foundation of our thought life, because our thought life is managing conflict rather than living in peace. And it's mainly because we're trying to produce peace out there so that we can feel better here. Well, if we could just get our family at peace, then we could be at peace. No, you get at peace, and your family gets at peace. If you don't get your mindset right, you're not going to get what you want into the environment around you. And for too many of us, we're trying to produce a peace in an external way instead of resetting ourselves to the control point, where our mind is set on peace, and that set on peace then governs everything we do. It governs the tone of our voice when we bring correction. It governs the tone of our voice when we're dealing with our kids. It governs the tone of our voice when we're dealing with incredibly difficult people. It governs everything we do, because our mindset, our control point, is peace. I believe God wants to set a control point in this body of people. He wants to set it in each of your family lives, in each of your circumstances. Too often we're governed by the circumstance instead of governed by the peace. And if we can re-anchor ourselves in the control point of peace, then we're going to be able to see his peace invade in a much greater way. Y'all with me? The way I think matters. If I dwell in conflict, I'm going to live on conflict, in conflict. That is so uncomfortable to us. But we do it so often. We wake up in the morning, the kids are not being what we think they ought to be, or our wife or husband's not being what we think they ought to be, or we get into work and everybody's had a bad day and they've not had their coffee yet, and pretty soon our entire world is controlled by conflict and chaos. Instead of waking up with our anchor point, with our set point being peace. If we dwell on peace, then heaven's peace is going to be there in the midst of whatever storm we're going through. And that's my challenge to you this morning. If we're going to talk about the kingdom of peace, we want to live in a place where our mindset is peace, or a control point in peace, and peace then governs everything we do and everything we say. This is a part of kingdom life. This is a part of body life. This is a part of church life. This is a part of being a Christian that I think we got to grow into. Because the more chaotic the world gets, the more desperate they are to see people who are living at peace. And I believe one of the main invitations to salvation for our nation is going to be a group of people that live in peace. A group of people that have a foundation of peace. A group of people that are so captivated by the King of Peace that they radiate peace, and they can walk into circumstances and people will say, how come you're at peace in the middle of this? Because my peace isn't based on circumstances. It's based on a relationship with the King of Peace. My peace isn't that we've gotten rid of all the Judaizers and we're free from Rome. My peace is that I've got that internal life of peace. Let's stand up together. So I'd like you to just take a minute and do some business with God. And I want you to just ask the Holy Spirit to show you, what is my mindset on? What is my mindset? For some of you, it may be peace. That's awesome. For some of you, it may be the finances that aren't there. For some, it may be conflict in home or family or marriage. I don't know what your mind's set on, but whatever it's set on, I want you to pray this with me. Lord Jesus, teach me to set my mind on peace. Teach me to take my mind and thoughts off circumstances. I want the control point of my life to be peace. So, Father, in your name, we just set that stake in the ground right now for everyone in this room. We just speak life and peace and wholeness in Jesus' name. Let your peace rule in the name of Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. If you're in this room this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you've never really given your life to Him, this morning there's an invitation to get to know the Prince of Peace, to begin to know the God you've wanted to know. I don't know everybody, so I'm free to say that. If that's you this morning and you want to come into relationship with Jesus, would you just put your hand up right now? And I want to pray for you. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. I like to give that invitation every time I speak because I want everybody to know the King of Peace. I want everybody to be in relationship with the King of Peace. And if you're struggling with that, just wave at me real quickly, and I'm going to pray with you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So, Father, we thank you right now that you, the King of Peace, is working in our heart and working in our life. And we invite you, Lord Jesus, to invade every part of our life and establish an anchor point in us, an anchor point of peace. We establish that now in Jesus' name. And when we're done, I'd like you to come and talk with me afterwards. If you need healing in your body, would you put your hand up right now? One of the great wonders of the kingdom is that we don't have to fight for healing. We have to release His peace. So keep your hand up if you need that. I want somebody from the congregation to go to each of these hands and just take those hands right now. I'm going to wait till somebody's with everyone. Need another lady up here. Yeah, thank you. Kaylee. Thank you. Holy Spirit, come. Somebody with Jen, please. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, come. Now, we'd like you to ask that person what they need healing, what specific it is. Just take 30 seconds and ask them what they need. And then we're just going to speak peace into this storm in Jesus' name. Now, you know what the person needs. Now, I want you to invite the Holy Spirit to come and just release heaven's peace into their body. Heaven's peace into their circumstance. Holy Spirit, come and just move right now in this room. We declare your peace. We declare your healing. We release your peace in Jesus' name. We release your peace in Jesus' name. We release your peace in Jesus' name. We release heaven's peace in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, come. 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 If you're being prayed for and you can feel that peace touching you, just wave your hand at me so I can see what God's doing. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Let your peace just invade our lives at a new depth and a new level. Father, we want to see everything that you're calling into being happen. So come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Just release heaven's peace. Come, Holy Spirit. Are you aware of God's peace in the room right now? Are you just aware of that? His kingdom is so real. Oftentimes when we think of the kingdom, we think of what we don't see or we don't feel, but one of the primary manifestations, that's just a big word, all manifestation means the invisible becoming visible. So when I talk about a manifestation of the kingdom, it means the invisible kingdom is actually becoming visible or experiential. And peace is one of those manifestations of His kingdom. That when peace is present, we can sense the power of His kingdom present. So Father, I just thank You for releasing that in this room right now. For each of these in healing, Father, we declare wholeness to these bodies in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, come. Release Your life and peace in Jesus' name. Now, one of the things the early church always shared was to greet each other with peace. So are there last announcements or not? No. So find at least 4 or 5 people and just release heaven's peace to them. Shake them.